Well, go ahead and take your seat, get your Bible, go with me to Hebrews. Once again, we're going to be looking at the Word of the Lord because I need to know how life works. I need to know how it's going to work out, play out for me. I know what it is that God would have me to do. I got to know how to make life work. That's why we go to the manual of life, which is the Bible. We go line upon line, precept upon precept, find out what God says. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Want to have a great marriage, it's right in the Bible. You want to raise great children, it's right in the Bible. If you want to make great business decisions, it's right in the Bible. There isn't anything that you have in your life that you desire that you won't find in Scripture. This is the manual on how to live life. If you don't live life according to what God's Word says, then what are you living life by? According to what society and social systems say, instead of God's Word. So every time that we gather together, we look into the Word of the Lord. This message that I have for you today is a life-changing message. Without you hearing what's being said, you will never be what God's called you to be. You will never do what God's called you to do. You will never think, say, express yourself like you should or could have if you don't get it today. So my point being is this, that you need to listen. You need to give God enough attention so that when God speaks through this man of God today, you hear what he's saying and that you adhere to it and apply it and put it to work in your life so that you can be blessed, and you know without a shadow of a doubt you want to be blessed. You can be blessed in every area of your life. The alternative and option that you have is you can go brain dead on me, stare at me like you think you're hearing and everybody around you can think you're watching, but you're really brain dead and you really aren't going to get anything. And then when you wonder why your life's a bunch of crap at the end of your life, did I get your attention? Did I get your attention? If you wonder why your life is a bunch of crap at the end of your life, then you find out because you didn't listen to what the Word of God had to say. Now, for those of you that think I just swore, you don't know the Bible. Paul describes it as dung. That's just his word for the same exact word. It's a biodegradable product. So you may have called it a swear word. It's not. So I hope that I've got some of your attention because your life is at stake. So do what you want to do, but don't blame me and don't blame God. Are you listening? I'm going to take you into the Word of the Lord, Hebrews 2nd chapter, verse 13. We've already been there once. I want you to know that when I read this, bang, the Spirit of God fell upon my heart and spoke to me. I've already been in the 13th verse before, and I could have just incorporated this thought, but God stopped me and said, no, I have a message for my people that they need to hear, and it's more than just a thought incorporated in your last message. And then God gave me by revelation in about 35 seconds, bang, it went into my heart, and I'm just the mouthpiece for this today. Like God uses a jackass in the Bible, I'm the jackass today that he's using. And don't you go smiling at me and agreeing with that with a big amen. I don't want to hear a big amen about that. But I'm just the mouthpiece for God today. And I want you to listen to the Word of the Lord because this is God speaking to you through this man for your life's sake. I want to read to you verse 13. And then I'm going to repeat it a number of times. I'm not trying to insult you, but I am trying to get your attention. And I want the Spirit of God to drop on you as it did me. And let's see if you can see something very important. First of all, before I read it, there are three letters in this verse 13. One word made up of three letters that is so important that it's absolutely life-changing. Three letters that makes up one word that is absolutely life-changing. At least it should be for all of us that are in here. Here it is. Let me read it to you, if I may. And let's take a look at it again. In verse 13 says, and again, this is Jesus speaking. This is not an angel speaking, and that's what we're talking about when you go to the book of Hebrews. In this section, it's really a comparison between angels and Jesus. Remember, the writer is making a point. The point is that Jesus is so much greater than angels, but we give a lot of attention to angels. We think they're so cool and all of that, when in fact they're not. What is important is Jesus. You say, well, that isn't me. It may not be, but we give God very little attention. We give a lot of other things more attention than we give God. So the policy still continues. He says these words, and again, I will put my trust on him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Did you get it? Here am I, Jesus is speaking, and the children whom God has given me. Let's do it one more time. Here am I, and the children whom God has given me. One more time. Here am I. And that big word, three letters. The children whom God has given me. You want a Father's Day message? This is it. This is how it all works. In other words, Jesus didn't make a statement. Here am I in my glory. Here am I in the power of the heavens. Here am I, the eternal God. Here am I who speaks and holds it all together by the power of my might. Here am I, great and mighty, and that I could speak and ten thousands of angels would come. Didn't say that. You know what he equated with? You and me. Here am I and you and me. And if there's anything you got to get out of this, is how secure you are that God identifies with you. The creator of the heavens and the creator of the earth that holds it all together by the power of his might, when he describes himself, here am I, then you are with him. And that ought to make you the most secure people on the planet. But unfortunately, the church is amazingly insecure. Yeah. You're insecure, I'm insecure, and let's admit it. Yeah. The title of this message is Secure in His Arms. We're insecure. We work all of our life to find something secure. We go to school. We get educated so we can relate with everybody around us. So we could possibly know a little bit more. We could have our degrees. We want to be secure. We buy cars to be secure. We buy homes to be secure. We accumulate things to be secure. We got retirement programs, checking accounts, savings programs. We got investment programs, everything. We build businesses to make ourselves secure. The, quite frankly, everything that you and I almost do is because we're insecure, because we ought to do something to make ourselves secure, when in fact God himself says, here am I and you. That ought to make you so secure. But we do everything else. We try to find everything else. We try to get everything we can. We try to accumulate everything we can. We want the recognition, acceptance, and approval of every man in order for us to be secure, when in fact we ought to be secure on the very fact that God identifies with you and I. When he identifies himself, he identifies you and me with him. And when we're with him, ooh, hear me now. You are secure. I don't give a flip what people say. I don't care what names they call you, how they point fingers at you, what they think about you. Doesn't mean a thing. Security doesn't come whether your daddy was there or not there, or your mommy walked the right way. Security comes because you are in Christ Jesus, and He is in you. And He identifies that right off the bat. Here I am in you. Not separate, but together. What a bizarre statement. Let me give you the description of what secure really means. Secure, free from danger, risk, or loss. You're free from it. That means you can make a business decision not where you're worried about. I told my wife the other day, I said, I could fall off a four-story building. I'm telling you, I'd land on my feet. You know why? Because Jesus is here. I don't want to fall off a four-story building. I don't want to make bad decisions, but in life I'm going to, and I got to know that my Jesus is with me. Why? Because I am secure, free of danger, risk, and loss. I can't lose because He'll give it back. I can't fail because He's the one that makes victory. I can't be uprooted and destroyed and defeated because He's my shield and my exceeding great reward. I couldn't be in facing life any better than secure in Him. But we're always looking for some other source to secure us. We're always looking for something to make us feel good. Our jobs, what our relatives think of us, what we look like, our status, when in fact real security comes from the fact that Jesus is in you and you're in Jesus. Now listen to me. And if you try to find security from some other source, you didn't hear me. If you try to find security from some other source, if you try to find security from some other source, you will never be anything but insecure. Fearless, confident, and unshakable. If I'm going to approach life that I don't have any idea what's ahead of me, I don't know what tomorrow's coming, I don't know what next week's going to be like, I don't know what next month's going to be like, I have no idea about what kind of a job I'm going to have or what the houses are going to be like. I mean, the world is so crazy. You listen to CNN, they say one thing. You listen to Fox News, they say something else. You listen to CNBC, you know they're idiots. You don't know any idea what's going on. You have no idea. So how do you approach tomorrow and be secure? You can't do it based on what man says. You got to based on who you are in Christ Jesus. From Him comes your security. Is anybody listening? Fearless. In other words, I don't have any fear. I can make choices. If I fail, God picks me up, washes me off, dusts me up, puts me back on path, and everything I lost is replenishable with God. Confident. My confidence is not in my ability, how smart I am, how cute I am, how cool I am. Can you notice I'm not? Unshakable. Unshakable because of who He is, not unshakable because of who I am. When I look at me and the world around me, everything is shaken. And the Bible says everything that will be shaken, but I've got one on the inside, His name is Jesus, and no matter what the world says, I got my confidence and my faith in Him, and I am secure because He's got my best efforts, best interests at hand. Are you listening to me now? So I was with God, and God spoke to me these things. Whether you want to believe that or not, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to be spiritual, obviously. I really don't care if you believe I hear from God or not. Doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you what God said to me. Four things. Reasons to be secure in God. Four things that you need to know every day in a very unstable and fear-filled world. That's after your stability in Christ, so that you fail. Secure because, I call them. Number one, secure because he is with me. He's not a God that said all of a sudden, hey, I'm with you, but you know, I'm really not there. I really love you, but I don't ever show it. I'm here today and gone to Maui tomorrow. He's not a God that comes along and says he needs his personal space away from you. You want to be a good dad? Listen to this. Good dads don't have personal time away from their family. I need to be with the boys. The only boys you need to be with is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I need to get away. I need to have my own space. Can you imagine God coming to you and saying, I just need to have my own space. I've been with you every day, every single week. I've been with you for months, day in and day out. Now I need to have my own time. If God's not that way, why are we that way? Are you following me? I found out about my kids. They didn't care what I did as long as I was there. Didn't have any money in those days to take him to Disneyland like other kids. Didn't have any, you know, didn't have any insurance when we started the church. Even when they got sick, you know, they just wanted dad to be there to hold him. I didn't have to take him to a doctor. Couldn't take him to a doctor. Couldn't afford taking him to a doctor. Didn't have any of that. Here's what my kids needed from me. Same thing I need from God. I just need to know he's there. And God's there, and he's not a God that makes excuses and says, I just need my personal time. I need to go hang with the bros for a while. Can I tell you something? You hang with the bros and you're sending a message to your children and you're sending a message to your wife and you're sending a message to your family that your and your feelings are more important than them, and they will know it and you will reap what you sow with your family. Are you listening? You might get mad at me. Go ahead and get mad at me. Go ahead and get mad at me. I'll give flip. You think I care? I'm too old to care whether or not you get mad at me or don't get mad at me. It's still right. God doesn't come along and make excuses to get away from us. He's there with us. And if he's there with us, then we ought to be there for our families too. Is anybody listening? And I thank God. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Because I want you to know something. Nothing hurts more than someone who makes a promise and then forsakes it. Nothing hurts more. And that is a plan by the devil to destroy your secure system in Christ so you never have confidence in him. And you need to get past it and have confidence in him. Yes, your past is problems. Yes, your past hurts. Yes, there's been pains. Yes, there's been people who let you down. Yes, there's been discouragements. Yes, there's people that have violated your trust. Get over it. You now have Jesus Christ, and his word is solid, and what he says, he will keep. And he's with us always. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse number 20. Last verse of the Bible, of the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter. The very last chapter and the last verse, Jesus concludes by saying these words in Matthew 28, verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe, speaking of his disciples, all things that I have commanded you. And then he stops and his last words are this. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what the end of the age is? Troubled times. When it's all said and done, it's over with. In other words, I don't care what the pressures are. I don't care how many times you've failed. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the Democrats say. I don't care what the Republicans say. I only care, you know, that I am with you always, and I will never leave you. And to the end of the ages, I'll be there, and you need to know that you are the most secure people on the planet. Because Jesus said it himself. We're talking about secure in his arms, and we're talking about secure because he is with me. Number two, secure because I'm held by his hand. I mean, that's kind of a bizarre thought, but my Bible says that I'm in God's, not only his heart, and he's in me, but I'm in his hand. Anytime you see the word hand in the Bible, it describes the power of God. So when he says I'm held by his hand, that means the power of God is holding me in place. Now listen to what that means. That means if you're trying to come against me, my family, my children, my dreams, my vision, you're going to have to go through God to get to me. And you got to have that kind of a feeling on the inside of you, because all pressure in hell is going to break out against you. Everything in the world is going to put pressure in hell against you in such a way that you're going to want to run. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to say, like, where's God? This isn't going to work. And you've got to go to that place that I am in his hand. His power surrounds me. And in order to get me as I lose, he's going to have to get God first. And I don't think there's anything going to get God. Come on now. And that's what he's talking about. It's that confidence on the inside, fearless confidence on the inside of every single one of us that's unshakable, because we know where we're at. We're secure in him, and our security comes from him. Wow. Now listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. In John, the 10th chapter, verse number 28, Jesus is speaking again. Go there. In John, the 10th chapter, let's take a look at this. We're talking about being in his hand. In verse number 28, he says these words, I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. We teach about that all the time. But you ever think about the last part of the verse, verse number 28, the 10th chapter of John? It says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Come on now. Neither, hey, listen to me. Neither all hell can break against your family. All hell can come against your life. All hell can come against your dreams. All hell can come against your vision. All hell can come against your hope. All hell can come against your prayer. But here's Jesus saying, I'm holding you in my hand and nothing will snatch you from my hand. But there is one thing that can take you out of the hand of Jesus. Oh, you didn't hear that, did you? There is one thing that can take you out of the hand of Jesus. One more time. There's one thing that can take you out of the hand of Jesus. You. When you decide not to follow him and not to put your trust in him and put it in something else, now you're out of the covering and ready to get whipped from pillar to post. And it's your call, no one else's. Are you listening to me? We're talking about secure because, I love this one, number three, we're secure because of a godly relationship. When I have a godly relationship, it's backed by promises and commitment. And I know the person who makes the promise and the commitment is faithful to fulfill that promise and commitment. I have a godly relationship with my wife all these years, through all the kids and grandchildren. I know she's faithful. When she says something, she means it. When I say something to her, I mean it. It's a commitment we made in God. When we got married, she couldn't, from that point on, she could trust me. And I know a lot of you have been married to people you couldn't trust after a while, but that doesn't make it bad for everybody and bad all the time. You may have had a bad experience. But don't judge what's right by a bad experience. Let me give you an illustration about a godly relationship backed by commitment and faithfulness. I think there's too many people living with God instead of married to God. I think there's too many people who date Jesus and are not committed with all their heart to Jesus. And when you're living with somebody or you're just dating somebody, you can't expect much of a commitment except day by day. You don't know that they're not, after a while, not going to like the way you do things and be gone. You don't know whether or not they'll hold up their part of the bargain. After all, you're just dating. You're just living together. But when you make a commitment based on faithfulness, like a marriage, then you can go to the bank on those words. And when you have a godly relationship with God, who makes a commitment to you and I with all of his heart and with all of his being, and he puts it on the cross, a beaten, bloody mess, nailed to the cross, and raised, like he said, on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father. And backs it with the Holy Spirit that he sends to us, and has kept every one of his promises for thousands of years. You can go to the bank on that kind of a godly relationship. And I'm secure because I've got, and so do you if you're born of the Spirit of God, you just may not know it, this godly relationship. Now, what happens is along the path of life, you've got all kinds of, can I speak in frank language, San Bernardino language? Because it makes it a lot easier for me. Better than the Greek and better than the Hebrew, San Bernardino. So it's all right. Oh, you're gonna give me this big religious stuff. You know, you watch videos that say a whole lot worse than I ever say, and you don't say a thing about them, and you don't take them back and say, "Oh man, that little word in it, I'm not gonna watch it anymore." So let's don't be hypocrites. Is that okay? So life comes along, and there's all kinds of crappy things that happen. Is that all right? All kinds of crappy things happen. And you judge life by the crappy things instead of life according to the great God that we have. And the purpose of the crappy things is to get you so insecure that you cannot be shaken, that you can be shaken, and you will be full of fear, so you never make a confident choice. All because of the past failures. And you take those past failures, which we all do, and we bring it into a relationship with Jesus. And we say, wow. And we base Jesus on what our experiences is of people in the past. And then we become very fearful instead of fearless. And we become unconfident instead of confident. And we become very shakable instead of unshakable. When in fact the truth is all of that was a barrage in your life to keep you from making the secure position that you have in Christ Jesus. Is anybody listening? Jesus describes this relationship that's really cool in three words in John the 17th chapter, verse number 23. Let's just pop it up for time period on the overhead. Three words, first three words of John 17, chapter, verse number 23. In fact, you ought to read all of John 17, but just start with these three words. I in them. I don't know if you ever stopped and thought about that. Those three words are so dynamic. I in them. It's relationship. I in them. It's relationship. And then he describes the relationship, I in them, like the relationship he has with Father God. You, speaking of the Father, in me. I in them, you, Father, in me. And then they may be perfect in one. In other words, you can't make life complete, perfect, or fulfill life's dreams and visions without Jesus Christ. You might as well get into this. And go with all of your heart. because you're not going to make it any other way. And somebody that's an honest preacher ought to tell you, put down the smoke and incense and tell you like it is, because this is not a religious game. Is anybody listening? It's so good for us to see this. What a relationship. Last one for today. Secure because, I love this, held tight by truth. Oh, I'm secure because, you know why? Truth etches out who I am, defines my existence. Let me just say this to you. All existence, from the beginning of time to the end of the ages, will be defined by truth. It will never be defined by what man says. It'll never be defined by what man does. It'll never be defined by a group of society or the social systems. Doesn't matter. It will never be defined by what a man does. It is defined by truth. And the entire existence, from the beginning to the end of existence as we know it, will be defined by truth. Now watch. The most powerful, richest man on the planet 1,000 years ago, not one of you, I don't care if you're a history major, know who that is. And yet, in his world 1,000 years ago, dominated every decision the entire country that he was involved in made. And he was the richest man on the planet. And you don't even know who it is. So it's not what man does that defines existence. It's truth. Now here's the question. And here's the biggest question you'll ever be asked. What's truth? Your ideas are different than their ideas. Their ideas are different than their ideas. Their source of truth is different than their source of truth. What's truth? Truth's got to boil down to not what man says, not what man feels, not what man thinks, and not what man wants. Truth is boiled down to is what God says and has proved himself for thousands of years without a shadow of variance. Bible says it. That's truth. And when you live your life by truth, you're secure. When you run your marriage by truth, it works. When you lift up your children by the truth, they grow healthy. When you make business decisions based on truth, what God says, your business prospers. Everything in life will be defined from the beginning of existence to the end by truth. And the point being is that we're held tight by truth. And that gives me confidence. In other words, when God says something, I don't have to worry that it worked then, but it won't work today. It works today like it does then. Is anybody listening? And the question is now, where are you going to make your commitment to truth? Where is it going to come from? Is it going to come from what you think or what society says or social systems? Let me give you a quick illustration. May I say this? Don't let that child bother you. That's why we have children's rooms for them. They'll move on in just a moment. Listen closely. That's why we have under 5, not allowed. Thank you, ushers, for helping me. Let's give me your attention. Let me give you an illustration of how truth is today. Global warming, let's take that. Is it truth? Absolutely. How do I know? I read the end of the Bible. The Bible says it's all going to burn. It's just not the global warming that they think. Now let's give you another little truth. Did you know within this last week, a group of scientists came out and made this statement that we are entering into a minor ice age period? Just minor. The question was asked to these scientists who supported global warming, but now have come out with an ice age prediction. What are we going to do with the global warming? They said, it's on hold for a while. In other words, let a government just send us money so we can keep giving fallacy. Truth is not what men come up with. Truth is what God says. And when man comes up with something contrary to the plan and will of God, you have got something that's in error. Let it happen. You don't have to fight against it. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to get signs. You don't have to picket. You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's going to happen. Let it happen. Here's what you do. You just know the truth and that you're governed by the truth of God's word, and that holds you secure. Is anybody listening? Very, very important point. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 38 says it like this. It says, I am persuaded, thank God, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, for height nor death or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's last verse for today. I'm just going to pop it up on the overhead. Psalm 16, verse number 8. Psalm 16, verse 8 says how you and I should be thinking. I have set the Lord. Now stop right there. Didn't say God was setting himself. I have set the Lord. Did you get it? See, this is an option. You can do this or not do this. You can walk in the security of Christ and not walk in the security of Christ. You can be secure in him or not secure in him. I can't make you do it. I can only present it. You have to got to do it. Notice what it says. I have set the Lord. Your call. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. In other words, because I know he's with me and I'm with him, I am stable, I am solid, I am fearless, I am unshakable, and man, I am not being moved. In other words, I am secure. That is the right attitude. Is anybody listening? The worst question a secure person can ask is a four-letter word called how. How is this going to happen? How, Christians say to themselves, are we going to make it? How is this going to be done? How will I be able to do this? Because the real answer to that is not how, it's who. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And that's what this is really all about. If God spoke to you today, give him a great big praise the Lord. Will you do that? Not me. Give him a great big praise the Lord.